This is the Rich Eisen Show.
All right.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
So is there any truth, Matthew McConaughey, that Texas is leaving the Big 12 because you knew Dion was coming?
Wow. What's the latest? What's happened in the last 12 hours? Did the Oregon water boy say something?
No, I don't.
Earlier on the show, Seahawks linebacker Bobby Wagner. Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy. Coming up, Commanders running back Brian Robinson. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
That's a fact. And I'm sitting here on the Roku channel set of the Rich Eisen Show. Also, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. If you missed the first 2 hours, my conversation with Mike McCarthy of the Dallas Cowboys. And also, my conversation with Bobby Wagner of the Seattle Seahawks. If you missed that, in hour number one, we re-air right away here on the Roku channel. There's also our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, came on the air singing the praises of Brock Purdy. Phone lines are lit. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here. I've got my top five most intriguing matchups for the rest of week number three to give to you. I'm going to clear out all the phone banks before we get to the weekend of college football and the rest of week number three. And joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show to kick off hour number three, it was the man I think I had third on my list of the most impressive performances of week number two. And I'm not just saying that because he's listening to me introduce him right now, but also not saying that either because he's on my fantasy team that I need a huge week from him for. Brian Robinson Jr. of the Washington Commanders here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Brian?
I'm great, man. How you doing?
No pressure. I need a big week. I got to have it. Brian. I got to have it.
I understand, man.
How often do you hear that sort of stuff from people, Brian?
Pretty often nowadays now, I guess. I didn't pay much attention to it last year, but I'm starting to hear a lot more about it now.
Okay. Well, I got to be honest with you. And again, this might not be professional. You have to pay attention to this. You have to focus on this sort of thing. You got to. Okay.
I got to focus on performing also.
Well, I mean, it's a win-win is what I'm saying. You win, I win. I win, you win. You know what I'm saying? It's all together. Tell that to Rivera. Actually, no. Tell that to Bienemy. He'll understand. You tell that to Eric Bienemy. Rich Eisen says, I've got to get the ball for his fantasy team. Will you please do that for me, Brian? Will you
please? He probably get on me dirty about that. Like, Hey, look, I know how EB is, man. He'll be like, I know you ain't coming to talk to me about no fantasy right now.
Is that the way it would go?
I'm pretty sure. It probably go a lot more like worse than that. I'm trying to be professional.
Understood.
Well.
Understood. There is a family audience that is listening and watching us right now, Brian, and I greatly appreciate that. And honestly, when that whole stuff about Eric Bieniemy came out, if you will, during training camp at the end, saying maybe some players on Washington's roster might not be taking his coaching or his hard coaching too well. I thought to myself, it cannot be the guy that was coached by Nick Saban. That cannot be that guy, you know? Right, Brian?
Definitely not. You know, me personally, you know, I never was a guy who complained about, you know, his coaching style. That was even before we really even got a chance to even know, you know, more about him. We were just kind of getting to know him, which we still are kind of getting to know him now. So I'm not sure who made those comments. And, you know, like you said, you know, I played under Saban. I played under a bunch of different coaches under Saban and his staff. So, you know, pretty familiar style with his coaching, you know, very, very hard. You know, that's something I appreciate, though, because it'll just make me better.
Well, I mean, and I was familiar with it, too, Brian, because years ago, way back when you were probably in high school in Tuscaloosa, or even before that, getting ready to do your thing on a football field. We had a feature on NFL Game Day Morning on NFL Network, and I watched him coach Adrian Peterson hard in a way that I was kind of shocked. Like, this is when Adrian Peterson was doing the, you know, Adrian Peterson stuff. So I think he saves a special bit of oomph for the running backs. How does he coach you? What can you give me as a for instance, Brian?
He holds me very accountable, you know, maybe more accountable than, you know, anybody on that field. And he just makes sure I pay attention to all the details, you know, just, you know, perform and do everything he needs me to do to be a great all-around back. And I appreciate you know, everything he's instilled in me for real, because it's done nothing but just help me, you know, just add more and more to my game and just, you know, build confidence in, you know, the certain things that, you know, he believe in that I can do and just give me the opportunity to go out and show it. So, you know, and I came to him and I asked him, I was like, you did coach, you know, AP in his prime. And he said, yeah. And I'm like, it just give me a perspective on, you know, what type of guy he is, what type of guys he coached. And, you know, I just had to understand that, you know, he's been here, he's coached some of the best guys. And, you know, I just got to, you know, I got to take it.
So yeah, obviously, and you've taken it and you ran with it. You also caught it. You had a terrific game in Denver. How did you approach that game in a way that you think might be repeatable, if not just this week, but for the rest of the season, Brian?
I just approached that game like I approach any game, like just hard nose. You know, we didn't start off fast. You know, we started off very, very slow, and which we had, you know, kind of did this the first week versus Arizona. We started off very, very slow. And, you know, I just had one of those second half stints where, you know, I was counted on, you know, coach put the ball in my hands and, you know, it was, you know, critical times for me and my offense, you know, just make plays. And, you know, that's what I had to do. You know, so really just going into this game, I want to start faster, you know, start off the game faster and, you know, end the game strong as well.
Well, I mean, this is the latest example, I think, outside of the building, if you don't mind me saying, Brian Robinson Jr., that folks might be overlooking, saying the Commanders aren't all that. They're 2-0. But here come the Buffalo Bills. What are your two cents on that, Brian?
I mean, you know, everybody got their own opinion. You know, it is what it is. You know, people going to say, you know, they're going to doubt us until they see it. So, you know, the biggest thing for me, you know, is just make sure, you know, I'm doing everything I got to do to prepare like I want to win and make sure my team is on the same page as well. And like I said, you know, they're going to continue to doubt us and say, you know, what we are and what we can't do until we show them. So the biggest thing on my mind is just going out and, you know, putting it on display.
Brian Robinson Jr. of the Washington Commanders at 2-0 for the first time since 2011, taking on the Bills this weekend right here on the Rich Eisen Show. When was the first time you realized you could do this at a level that was elite, Brian?
Honestly, I think just, you know, playing at Alabama, you know, and, you know, playing with a lot of guys that, you know, eventually go off into the league, like, you know, year by year, you have guys who, you know, go out to the draft, some get drafted very high, some get drafted, you know, whenever. And, you know, they go out and they have the success at the next level. And you think about, you know, how much y'all polished each other up and, you know, made each other better during school. And you just, you know, just also help you build confidence seeing those guys on TV making plays and performing at the next level, you know, before you kind of step up into that level. And, you know, once I got here, you know, I see a lot of familiar faces, you know, guys I played against while I was in college. You know, that's, you know, also been having success in this league. So, you know, I just got to continue to compete, you know, at the same level that I competed, you know, before I got here, and I would be able to have success at this level.
So you're from Tuscaloosa, correct? That's where you're from?
Sir.
Did Auburn ever have the temerity to knock on your door and say, come here, Brian?
They did try to recruit me, but that was a very boring recruiting process. Oh. I didn't really give it any attention. I didn't show them like any mind, you know, during that whole process. Like, I knew that wasn't the school that I was going to, you know, go to.
Why?
Just growing up in Tuscaloosa, I always been like, you know, diehard Alabama fan. I always knew if I had an opportunity to play on the Saban or play for the Tide, you know, that's what it was going to be. And with Auburn being the biggest rival that it always been to Alabama, I just didn't see that happening for myself, just because I didn't feel like, you know, I would be happy and comfortable in Auburn. I probably would have went somewhere else outside of, you know, the state of Alabama if it had came down to it.
But it didn't come down to that, right? It didn't?
No.
Okay. Saban showed up in your living room, Brian?
He definitely showed up. He showed up.
Oh. What was it like having him there? Walk me through that.
It was great. Saban, he showed a lot of interest in me over those years, recruiting from, like, you know, the end of my freshman or mid sophomore year all the way up until I signed. You know, he came and he visited home. He came and he visited school. He called me down to campus numerous times just to see my face, you know, to have me around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was more than enough for, you know, what I need. I didn't even need that much because I was just so excited to have the opportunity. You know, so, you know, with him going out his way to, you know, show that he was, you know, interested in me, you know, that was the icing on the cake.
Okay. I'm going to ask you the question I have asked literally every Alabama Crimson Tide player I have interviewed on this program that has played for Nick Saban. I've asked this of Tua, Mac Jones, Will Anderson. I can go right down the list, and now I'm going to ask it of you, Brian Robinson Jr., the angriest, the most upset you've ever had Nick Saban with you and at you is what? Tell me that story.
Saban had to discipline me a couple times over the years. I wasn't perfect. You know, I probably upset him the most when the vaccine came out. I had made comments about it, and he didn't like it because he thought I was influencing the locker room. And he gave me an earful as soon as I walked out on the practice field.
So what about on the field? On the field, any moment that you you ever made him upset, Brian?
I mean, it don't take much. It don't take much, you know, kind of get under his skin and upset him. I think probably the most upset I did make him was in a playoff game. My sophomore year, it was in a playoff game versus Oklahoma. We was playing them in Miami. And me and Josh Jacobs was back deep to return, and they had kind of kicked a high kick that was to my side. And I had, like, put my hand up as if I was going to receive it without, like, saying fair catch.
Yes.
But they called it fair catch. They called it a fair catch, so, like, we didn't get to get the return, which would have was set up to be, like, almost an 80-some-yard kick return to the house. So we didn't get that return off, and, like, he gave me an earful because, you know, I guess he was just, like, you know, that wasn't the best communication, you know. We left points out on the field, you know. It was just a very time, like, a time in the game where we needed a spark, and I feel like with me calling that fair catch and not being able to get that kick return going, he was very upset about that at the time.
Okay. So that means you were never the recipient of a D's nuts joke from him, Brian?
Oh, that's something that's just kind of common in practice. Like, sometimes he's in a good mood and he's in a joking mood and he'll crack a joke or two. And when he crack a joke, you better laugh. He expects you to laugh. He expects you to laugh.
Like, is that right?
Yeah. Like,
so he gets upset when he's joking and you don't laugh at his material? Is that what you're saying?
You can tell by his body demeanor that, like, that was a joke. You're supposed to laugh.
I love it. It's kind of like a stand-up comedian or a comedian. Like, you know, it's my material. You should laugh. I mean, it's just, I just love hearing stories about him and what's going on at Alabama. And obviously, you know, there's a big game against Ole Miss this weekend. And I appreciate you sharing those stories. Before I let you go, Brian Robinson Jr., have you met Magic Johnson yet? Have you crossed paths with him?
Yes, I have got a chance to meet Magic.
Okay.
Probably twice now.
Okay.
What's that? Pretty cool. Pretty cool guy.
Yeah.
I love his mindset. Real great mindset. You know, we got a chance to ask him some questions, you know, based off of his history in the league and, you know, some of the greats he played around and kind of how different those guys' mindsets is. You know, he played with Kobe and LeBron and all those guys. And, you know, he knows, he's more familiar with what kind of mindset those guys, you know, have and, you know, what's different about those guys. So it's good to kind of get that input on, you know, what makes guys great and lead and, you know, at that level.
Okay. And then, you know, obviously his business acumen is second to none. Brian, have you talked to him about the big hats? Have you talked to him about the big hats?
I have not got a chance to talk about the big hats, but I hear the big hats starting to do a lot of big numbers nowadays. And
okay.
I might need to get some information about that, honestly.
You should definitely talk to him, like, at Shark Tank. Next time he's in, you should pitch him on the big hats and all that sort of stuff and get him in on the big hat game. I mean, he's Magic Johnson, for crying out loud, you know?
Right.
Well, you know, and you certainly maybe you should give one to your quarterback. I don't know, you know, if you want to chime in on this front. We're a little bit confused here because Sam Howell, if he wants to be elite, Brian, needs to have elite quarterback hair. And I don't know what's going on here. Is this the way he looks all the time, Brian? Right there? No? Is this the way he looks all the time, man, Sam Howell?
Man, that's Sam, man. That's my guy, man. Hey, look, he ain't the type of guy that sit up in the mirror and try to comb and pick out his hair and make sure he looking all pretty, man. My guy want to come play ball, man. He put his hard hat on and go to work, man. Looks that's
like,
my guy.
Looks like he rolled out of bed, Brian. I'm not going to – look, trust me, I'm not someone to talk – but I'm focused on this sort of thing about hair. And I'm like, I'd love to do that, by the way, is just to have that sort of head, you know.
I'll take somebody who rolls out of bed and be ready to play, then roll out of bed and got to take 20, 30 minutes to fix their hair before they get ready.
Okay. Sold. All right, Brian, what a pleasure to chat with you. I appreciate the stories that you're sharing. But again, got to have it this weekend. I'm 0-2, the exact opposite of your team. Got to have it. Got to have it. And then I need you to tell Bienemy that so you get the ball. Would you please?
Yes. I keep that in the back of my mind. I make sure I run that by him in warm-ups. That's okay. probably when his best move during the warm-up, so I can probably slip it on him.
Okay. How about this? And you do this or not. You score. You act like you're putting on a big hat. That way I know you're thinking of me, Brian.
Yep.
You score just like that sort of thing. I don't mean to mess with you. You do your thing because I need it. I need it. Okay, Brian? On Sunday.
I got you.
Okay.
I keep that on my yeah.
Appreciate that. That's Brian Robinson Jr. What a pleasure to chat with you. Good luck to you against the Buffalo Bills and beyond. A member of the Washington Commanders and my fantasy team right here on the Rich Eisen Show. You take care, Brian Robinson Jr. What a delight.
It's awesome.
Let's go. He'd rather have a guy who can roll out of bed and play quarterback like that than he's getting his hair ready.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
And if you don't laugh, it's Nick Saban's material.
You got a
now,
problem.
Hold on a second.
That's
this is big. What would a Georgia Bulldog fan like Sarah Tiana say about that?
Yep.
Would she carp on Nick Saban because that's her default? Or as a comic,
right,
appreciate that? How would she roll with that?
I'm going to have to ask her.
Chris Brown. No, this is like newlywed game, pal.
I can't answer
for her. Yes, you can.
I can't answer for her.
It's sort of it's sort of like that line from Seinfeld,
all right.
You know, where Whatley was telling Jewish jokes and wasn't Jewish, and the priest asks Jerry, does that offend you as a Jewish person? He says, no, that offends me as a comedian.
I think Sarah would revel at any opportunity to carp on Nick Saban.
Rather than respect the fact that this is my best material, I'd like a laugh.
I don't think Nick's probably that funny, so he's probably just trying to use intimidation and
football
the threat of playing time.
You cannot even just sit there potentially and appreciate the stand-up comics' need for laughter.
No.
Okay?
She's football hardcore.
I didn't get a harumph out of you.
Yeah. Hey. Drop and give me 20. You know,
harumph, harumph, harumph. Okay.
When you lose, I win.
Thank you very much. We'll take a break. Phone calls and my top five games of the weekend. Oh, it was a delight chatting with Brian Robinson Jr. I'm glad that he's on my fantasy team. I need it. This might not be the matchup, though. I don't know. Matt Milano's coming downhill. That's next right here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show on a fun Friday.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
On October 5th. Loki is back in a brand new season.
Reunited. That's right.
The countdown is on.
I've been waiting.
Don't miss the return of Marvel's most watched Disney Plus show.
Loki.
Loki. Loki.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
His time is running out.
You better run!
Marvel Studios' Loki Season 2. New episodes streaming October 5th, only on Disney Plus.
What's the most pissed off you made Nick Saban ever?
Oh, when I took the sack, 2nd and 26 in a national championship.
That game. You mean the one that you immediately made up for with an amazing play
that
put you on the map? That sack?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the sack.
So walk me through how that, what he said to you, if you can, in a certain way on a live TV broadcast.
I mean, I could only see it on camera, you know, how mad he was. That was probably the most pissed off, though, I think he's ever been. I mean, he was squeezing his headset so hard. And then, you know, like, it was hard because the emotion was, like, so mad to so happy, you know, so fast for him. And you know, we got into the locker room when everything settled down. I mean, he was still the same coach. You know, yeah. He pulled me to the side. Like, what were you thinking? You know,
so
like taking
the sack.
So
after you won the game,
mm-hmm.
and you picking confetti out of your hair, he still took a moment moment to revisit that sack.
Yeah, being who he is, I mean, you know, he pulled me to the side. He said, you know, well, why did you take the sack?
Right.
You know, and I thought it was a good time to joke with him, you know, so we won the national championship. So I told him, well, you know, we needed more room to throw the ball, coach, you know, and like he looked at me and like I was laughing. He's like, that's not funny. I didn't know what else to do in that situation. I was like, OK, I'm sorry, coach. So I shook his hand and he just moved on. I was like, oh. Like, oh, man,
that's amazing.
I love that story. Yeah. That made me my favorite story of the whole week. So you just figured, yeah, hey.
I was like, oh,
we
maybe.
Just won it?
Yeah. Thought it was a good time to joke, but it wasn't.
Wow. Yeah, nope. It's never a good time, I guess, in that respect.
Tua, back in the day. Check him out on all of our archive on our YouTube page. Back here on our Rich Eisen Show Roku channel. Stream along with the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk. Furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We just had a fun chat with Brian Robinson Jr. of the Washington Commanders, formerly of the Alabama Crimson Tide. And there was a story that he told that led me to ask Chris Brockman a question in regards to what Sarah Tiana would think of it. And now she is joining us live on the Rich Eisen Show to speak for herself. Sarah, are you there?
Rich, if you have to tell people it's a joke, it's not a joke.
Oh, okay, hold on a second. Let me just get this straight. Let me set this thing up. First of all, are you in the car with Cage? Is that happening?
I am in the car in an In-N-Out drive-thru, and Cage is playing an electric guitar in the back seat.
What is more American than that? I don't know.
Wow.
Can Cage hear me right now?
That's what we know.
He cannot hear you because I put my earpods in.
Okay, good enough.
He keeps wanting the phone.
Okay.
He wants the
So then
himself.
I guess we need to make this quick then. So Brian Robinson Jr. says that Nick Saban likes to joke sometimes when he's feeling good and that he gets upset if people don't laugh at his material. And I said, is it possible that Sarah Tiana, Georgia Bulldog fan, the biggest one that I know personally, would either want to carp on Saban because that's the default, or as a top-notch comic, appreciate the want for laughter? Sarah Tiana, what do you say?
I think as both a Georgia Bulldog fan and a comedian, I would harp on him, because if you have to stare at people long enough until they laugh, it's probably not that funny.
Hmm. What if it's a tough audience that's not used to laughing? Right? What about that? That they're not expecting
like
the joke to come. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen,
well done.
We understand where your allegiances lie. The joke is Alabama this year, huh? I thought it was Georgia's schedule, Sarah. I thought that was the joke.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I know. Don't we all have just such hard schedules, Michigan fans?
I know.
It's just been such a tough year.
Bowling Green was a stout opponent. Don't you dare denigrate.
We almost lost to Kent State last year. So
okay.
I don't really have high hopes for Georgia this year. I think we're playing better every game. But, you know, a new quarterback is always tough to kind of break in.
Okay, so you would say if the joke's not funny, it doesn't matter, is what you're saying.
I would say that you don't have to, if the moment you tell it, either people laugh or they don't. And if they don't laugh, probably not a good joke.
Okay. Thank you, Sarah. Go back to being Mother of the Year. Thank you.
All right. Do you guys want anything from In-N-Out? Or?
Oh.
Yeah, let me get a double-double, Sarah. Double-double, no onions.
Oh, my gosh. What does Cage get?
He gets a cheeseburger with ketchup.
Damn straight he does.
He gets whatever I buy him.
He'll get it and like it.
You'll get
that's very Judge Smales right there. Okay.
Spalding.
Thank you, Sarah. You take
right,
care.
See you, Sarah.
That's Sarah Tiana, everybody.
All right.
That was very Judge Smales.
There you go.
Yeah. He's sitting back there playing his guitar. I want a cheeseburger.
No, I want a hamburger.
And here's the thing. So she was, they were just out and she bought him an electric guitar. She's going to be in San Diego performing all weekend at the Comedy Store. So if you're down there, go check her out at the La Jolla Comedy Store. But I'm home with the electric guitar all weekend
maybe
now.
Maybe you should just be more attentive and like teach him how to play Stairway to Heaven. You know, play him some of the hits and you're say,
right.
Play that.
You're right. Well, remember, Wayne's World, no stairway.
There
so.
We go.
I could teach him how to play Smoke on the Water because it's the only thing I can
all right,
play
well, come
on guitar,
over. Let's go.
0350.
Party at my house. This
let's go back to the phone lines. Nick in Ontario, Canada. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Rich. How are you?
How are you?
How are you guys doing?
We're what's good,
up, man. What's up, bro?
Again, it's an honor to talk to you guys. I called in a few weeks ago about the respect about my Falcons, but that's besides the point because you're still not giving it to them. The last quarterback we want is Daniel Jones, let me tell you.
Hey, hold on a second. Nick, do you know what Arthur Smith could do with Daniel Jones?
The same thing he's doing with Ritter.
Jeez, I thought Canadians were supposed to be less edgy.
Yeah, I thought,
okay.
Don't get it twisted. I love Dez.
Okay.
Let's go.
Okay.
We got a big game.
Yes,
and
you do.
I got a question.
Yes.
I've been looking forward to this game in Detroit for a while. I was at the last one with the 10-second runoff, which was the craziest ending ever.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been invited, and I'm planning to play in a golf tournament with a tee off at 9 a.m. this Sunday. Now, a little caveat, I watch every Falcons game like you would watch Michigan, Ohio State.
Okay.
So, my conundrum is, do I try and watch it in the golf cart for probably an hour? The last tournament I was in was about a 5.5-hour round.
Oh, God.
So, do I watch it in the golf cart for an hour and then get home, knowing I'm probably going to get updates from whoever, or do I just let it... You know, play my golf round and go
blackout.
Home and catch up.
Okay, so by the way, this is
catch up right from kickoff.
All right, so you're asking for help from RES Consulting. Ooh. Is that what you're saying?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Normally
I'll
we charge
you,
for this sort of thing,
send
but
you some maple candy.
We'll do it on the arm. We'll do it on the arm.
How important is this golf tournament?
Yeah, right. Great question.
It's with a couple buddies that I've played in a few tournaments already this year. They did not have a fourth, so I reluctantly joined.
Oh.
And they know football is pretty much my religion, and none of them care about the sport, unfortunately, to say at all.
Dude.
Oh, so watch
dude.
While you're playing.
No,
really
dude, don't go.
Oh,
don't go at all.
But he already committed to
no,
his friends.
No, it's too bad. They don't understand. The Atlanta Falcons are across the bridge from this man. He's going to go to Michigan. It's how long of a drive? It's probably not very long if you're close to the border, right, Nick?
It's 5 hours.
Oh, well, this is a commitment. To hell with these players and people.
Yeah, but you said you already paid your dues, right? So you're already financially committed.
I'm in the tournament. Yeah. So it's okay. Do I watch in the golf cart? Or
yes.
Do I wait and try and
you
keep
go to the
it
game,
all
Nick.
Blank until I get home?
Well, sports. I'm giving you a third option. You tell them no.
Yeah,
I'm going
to the
game, and you go because the Falcons are honestly when the Falcons are in Detroit.
Actually, I would do that.
And they're 2-0, and Bijan Robinson's there. You want to see him with your own two
That'd
eyes?
Be awesome.
Yeah.
And you
got to
support.
Go to the game.
Two tickets also on the arm coming, Rich. I'll wait for those.
Nick, I gotta go. We're up against a hard out.
Hold on a second.
No, but in all seriousness, Nick, seriously, man. I mean, come on. The Falcons are 2-0. Bijan needs your support. You know your sports blackout
Absolutely.
Isn't gonna work. You're gonna get updates from your friends. You're not gonna be playing golf. Nobody wants you around in a golf cart looking at your phone anyway. You're halfway there. You need to fully commit in one way, and that is to go.
I appreciate it. I'm also, hard to say for many Falcons fans, I'm 5-0 when I'm at the game.
Oh, come on!
Come on, dog.
There's 2-0s in Ontario, and you got 3 more in your back pocket. Come on! Thanks for the call, Nick. That's RES Consulting. I'm sorry I took over that consulting session, guys.
Well, you went with a third option that wasn't considering.
That's what we do.
That was well done.
That's what we do here.
Yeah.
At some point, guys, we're going to need to start...
Charging,
no
more pro bono
to our business.
Pro bono's got to go.
I don't know. I mean,
we can just have Jay Felly take over. He's running a real business right now.
That's why he's got the nicest car in the lot, right? I love when Susie's like, whose car is that? Which Jay Felly's like, what?
Yeah, what are you paying him?
No offense. No offense.
None taken.
Adam in Minnesota, you're here on the Rich Eisen. What's up, Adam?
Hi, Rich. How are you today?
How are you, Adam?
I'm good. My question for you is how, since you are in like the 0.00001% of fantasy football players who actually get to talk to the football players, how does Rich Eisen, the interviewer, affect Rich Eisen, the fantasy football player?
I don't think they're correlated, Adam. I'm a professional. What do you mean? What's the effect? Give me the idea of what you think I can players. Affect. What? Huh?
When you're picking players for your fantasy football team,
yes.
Do you ever consider, could I get this guy on the show? Would this make good content for the show?
No.
Or do you just try to bar them off completely?
Well,
it was inspired by your last interview.
Yes.
I was just like, that's interesting.
I don't know. I mean, we have chosen players, right, for our fantasy, Chris, together, TJ, where we're like, that would be good for the show if we have that guy on together.
We have done that before.
But in the so-called league that I want to win more than anything else, no, this doesn't affect me at all, Adam. And how dare you call into my show and call into my professionalism into question like that?
I'm not calling out your professionalism. It's just an interesting dichotomy.
Not a question.
You are like one of maybe, 20 to 30 fantasy football players who can actually talk to the players on a weekly basis.
That's true, but I'm the only one who asks the best questions, Adam. I'm the only one who could get the best answers for me, okay? So, yes, there is an eye in Rich and Eisen. Just like there's one in Minnesota.
Well, just to back up Adam's point for a second.
What is his point? I don't get his point.
He's just asking a question.
He's just seeing if you influence. You did try to convince Sean Payton to give the ball to Alvin Kamara a little bit more.
I know, but he had never heard of the term vulturing before, ever.
So,
and that was a problem for me. And everyone else who had Alvin.
Well, I also had him that
by
year.
By the way,
you were helping.
I was helping you.
You were helping.
Help me help you is what I'm saying.
Just saying. I don't know.
Adam, I appreciate the call. Thank you. That was a fun question.
What happened after you told Sean Payton about vulturing?
I think he immediately scored.
He texted me. Yeah. He loved it to the point where he texted me a cartoon drawing of a vulture, which must have been the first image that popped up in his Google.
What's a vulture?
And by the way, he texted you like not even
right
10
away,
minutes
like
after.
In the commercial break.
It was super quick.
He loved that. He had never heard the term vulturing before, which, by the way, I should say, in case he's out there, I have Javonte Williams too. Let's get him going. Let's get him going.
They're going to be behind on
Thursday. I got McCaffrey going. I don't even have to talk to Kyle about that.
12 straight games with a touchdown.
By the way, I looked it up. It's not every game that he's been. Could you imagine if he had started his entire San Francisco 49ers career with a touchdown in every game to tie Jerry Rice's team record? But it's damn near close. I don't think he scored in his first game when he came in that like 2 days later when he was traded and it was Chiefs are out there.
But he has scored in 12 straight games.
Tying Jerry Rice's franchise record.
Bananas.
You know who to thank for that? Brock Purdy. I'm all in.
Brock Purdy.
I am all in, guys.
I mean, you could have handed the ball off to Christian McCaffrey.
I know. No, I couldn't have. I'd have fallen down. Are you kidding me? Get out of here. All right, I need music, please, and I need the graphical support for my top five most intriguing matchups of week number three. Hit it, please.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
I just hit me. Is that high five? Is that putty to start that drop? Yes, it is. It's putty.
Is it?
High five. All right, I like it. It only took like 16 plays of those drops for me to finally figure that out. Well done, Hoskins and Smitch. Well done. Greatly appreciated. Here we go. Nick in Ontario, you better go because it's the number five matchup on my list of most intriguing matchups of week five. Falcons and Lions, let's go. I understand a lot of folks are like, okay, so what? Atlanta, Detroit. This is fun. This is fun. You got Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs on the same field. These are the running backs chosen in the top 12 of a draft. Get out of here. When was the last time you had two rookies chosen in the top 12 of an NFL draft at the running back position playing one another in week three? It's a very small subset. I'll gather to say it's rarely happened. But the most important thing is the Lions coming off of that home loss to Seattle, losing two in a row at home after beating the Chiefs in their home to start the season, while the Falcons can go to 3-0 heading off to London the following week. I mean, they're going to be playing this game, and I don't know. Are they heading off to London right away? They're taking on Jacksonville. That would be a pretty big game to walk in at 3-0. Or the Lions rebound and the Falcons lose their first, and it's a conference matchup. This might be one of those tie breaks at the end of the season if both of these teams play as well the rest of the way. That's number five. Number four. Steelers and Raiders. Let's go.
Yeah.
I mean, this is old school, isn't it? This is old school, and I saw the last matchup. I called the last matchup between these two teams when Pickett found Pickens in the end zone to end Derek Carr's Raiders career. Now here comes Jimmy Garoppolo and his home debut after two starts on the road. One in Denver with a win, one in Buffalo they'd like to bury the tape on, and then Pickett coming in with the Steelers in Las Vegas, Nevada. I bet you there are a ton of people from Western PA that are playing blackjack right now. I mean, they are all there. Yeah, they're all hanging out.
They're at the pool.
They're at the pool. Oh, they're all go. Over there. There are Yinzers all over that strip.
They're drinking those yard.
It is going to be a great.
Fruity drinks.
And it's going to be a great crowd on Sunday night. And it's big. The winner of this game goes to 2-1. This is another one of those tiebreakers, maybe for a wild card spot later on in the season. We're assuming could be a big win for the Steelers to bounce back with two straight wins after that home opener of a dud against the 49ers, or Felly's Raiders win another one and just bury the tape from last week with a W in there. Jimmy G's home debut. Can't wait to see it. That's number four.
Here's them after.
Oh, okay. Sucking.
Okay, very good. Number three on this list.
Wow.
Loser goes to 0-3. You want to talk about stakes?
Yikes, dude.
Two playoff teams from last year starting 0-3. And if you think Brandon Staley was snippy being asked about that hangover possibility of losing the way that they lost in the playoffs last year and then losing the first two, he loses the first three. How's that going to taste? Kirk Cousins, Mr. Quarterback, Mr. Netflix, starting 0-3. Oh my goodness. And all the conversation about what are the Vikings going to do? Why would they trade Dalvin Cook to the Jets? Is that where Kirk should be sent as well? I mean, this is a big game early window on Fox, Chargers and Vikings. Let's go. Number two on this list. Let me tell you something. Speaking on behalf of this fan base, the concept of showing that their quarterback can win this game, snap a 14-game losing streak against this team, and send the Patriots and Bill Belichick to 0-3. This is the stuff that the Jets fans put underneath their pillows and hope the Tooth Fairy comes and leaves a big, fat $100 bill. That's what the Jets need to do this weekend. Or does Bill Belichick say, I own you? Woody Johnson doesn't own you. I do. That cocktail napkin I scrawled all those years ago, that still has its magical powers. And Zach Wilson is absolutely the guy that played in 2022. He's not walking through that door like he did at BYU this week. Jets lose two in a row after that home opener. And it's just like, well, if they didn't come back on the Bills, they'd be 0-3. This season's over. Oh, my goodness. Patriots-Jets. What a rivalry game in week number three. Didn't think this would be the circumstances, Chris, when we were carpeting each other back and forth, like, don't lose it. Same intensity to each other. Okay, it's Zach versus 0-2 Mac.
Basically, the loser's going to tank after this.
Oh, my God.
Like, loser gets Caleb Williams.
What a game.
But, like, you both have lost your intensity since the beginning of the
season.
Well,
for good reason, Mr. Cowboy, water skiing behind the Micah yacht over there. You pipe down.
Look, I lost my quarterback.
Number one. Is the 2-0 versus 2-0 matchup on Monday Night Football. Eagles and Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Can Baker Mayfield show the entire nation with Joe and Troy in the booth and, you know, the rest of us watching? Unless we're breaking the fast here on the West Coast. Bucks versus the Eagles, 2-0 versus 2-0. Is it possible that Baker Mayfield plants the flag right there in Philadelphia where we're wondering, A.J. Brown said, everything's cool here. And then fans are like, what's happening? This is not the same Eagles team. They don't look like the team that won the NFC Championship last year. They're now 2-1. Or are they 3-0 and just say, okay, we're watering, we're fertilizing, pipe down. Can't wait for that. That's the most intriguing matchup to me for week number five.
You think we need one more?
Okay.
All right, we'll get one more.
Let's do it. I'll do it. I'll say it. And I wrote this down before I fell in love with Brian Robinson Jr. in the Big Hat.
Oh.
Bills and Commanders, man.
It's sneaky, man.
It is, isn't it?
It's sneaky for sure.
Isn't it?
Because it's going to be, there's, you know, that the tropical storm is coming through. Those games, there's going to be a lot of rain on Sunday.
That's when Brian Robinson Jr. gets the ball.
You got to think Washington can run the ball a little bit better than Buffalo.
Yes, they can.
Like, is Josh Allen just going to be trying to jump over dudes?
It's
like,
possible. And it's possible he tries to jump over dudes and then does so. That's entirely possible. He does that and he shows Sam Howell and the Commanders how it's done, and it's not your time. It's still mine. I got it.
Or John Dotson lets loose and Sam Howell's winging it around. Like,
and Stephon Diggs, you know, the Terrapin back in the Mid-Atlantic showing everybody that I'm home. You know, I kind of dig this game, guys. Bills Commanders on CBS. Potentially in the middle of what Tropical Cyclone 16 is the folks are, who track these storms are calling it.
It's going to rain!
That's my top five most intriguing matchups of week three.
Rich, I thought we named the storm Shag Hennessy.
Oh, Shag Hennessy?
Yeah, I thought that was it. Did have a name. Yeah.
Oh, Shag Hennessy?
Oh, Shag.
That's very churlish of you. Okay. Fun segments, guys. We'll wrap up this show with some more of your phone calls. The phone callers have been
on it
today.
They've been great today.
They've been on point.
Keep it up.
844-204-RICH, number to dial.
We're normal good callers.
We're back with a finale, a Friday finale. That's what we're calling this segment, like McCarthy calls his Friday practices.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
My guest is Kim Zuckman. She is author of the book, There's No Cream in Cream Soda. I don't think I've ever really known the story of why they're called hot dogs.
There is so many legends about the name of the hot dog. When the Germans immigrants came over and they brought all of their sausages, they also brought their dachshunds. It really is because they kind of look like dachshunds.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
Hey, it's Rich Eisen. You want an exciting and fast-paced podcast based on one of the most popular segments in the history of the Rich Eisen Show? Well, you got it. Overreaction Monday, hosted by me, Rich Eisen, and my compadre, Chris Brockman. And every Monday, we're going to dive into the headlines from pro and college football and overreact. Are you ready, Chris Brockman? Yay or nay?
Yes, Rich. No holding back, buddy. I'm coming for you.
Absolutely what you need to hear. Overreaction Monday, every single Wait For It Monday, wherever you listen. Oh my goodness, do we have everything, so much to talk about in the remaining minutes.
A few minutes left.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. So much to talk about. Burrow. Rodgers. By the way, that's it. Could you imagine that's all I talk about is just names? That's what I suddenly devolve into here as the host. Would the Roku channel just call me up and say, what happened to you? Where's the rest of the sentence?
Rodgers, Burrow,
Rodgers.
Where is Aaron right now?
Careful, we're gonna get to that in a minute.
Where's
Aaron? thank God. What? I don't know why I'm getting more Key and Peele in my Instagram timeline.
Because as soon as you start looking at one, or
is it? Is that what it is?
It's just all
it is just. I'm so thankful and delighted by it.
I don't mind getting all the Key and Peele in mine.
I started getting landscaping videos.
Oh, really? What's going on there?
Because he looked up a...
I watched one, and now I'm getting 50.
Oh, is that right? Is that some of the golf videos you're watching, too?
Golf, yep.
Yeah, yep.
Yep, golf videos.
Playing golf. Is that what it is?
Lots of playing
it
golf.
It really is weird. You look up one thing, and then you get nothing but these ads for that.
Dude, it's not just looking it up. Susie...
Talking about it.
Yes, talking about it. And she's turned her microphone off, and it still pops through.
Yeah.
Like, I have Siri off on my phone for, the last 3 years.
Yeah, I don't have my Siri on either. Doesn't matter, though.
It doesn't, right?
Right.
What's going on?
I don't know.
What in the Zuckerberg is going on? So it is. Easy looking?
Key and Peele.
And you're saying that, and then it'll show up?
Here it comes. It's going to pop up in, an hour.
My goodness gracious.
Not that I'm complaining about
Key and Peele. Not at all.
You know what I mean?
Present.
Timofey.
Present. I showed that one to my kids. They just loved it.
Oh, that's amazing. Blake.
Insubordinate and churlish.
You can stream the NFL on Westwood One for free. Sponsored by AutoZone all season long. To every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. or on your Westwood One affiliate stations digital platforms. You can stream Kevin Harlan. You can stream my Kurt Warner and yours truly every single weekend, all season long for free. And get in the zone with AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help you find a fix for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. In a world where your car needs fixing. All right.
I wonder if AutoZone signed Hot Rod Fitton yet.
We've got the latest from Cincinnati.
Oh.
Everybody get ready.
Let's go.
It's lower extremity watch for Joe Burrow. We've got, what do we got? Him running? We got him walking first. Compare it from yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, let's see.
No.
I don't know. No, he looks better. He's
going to
look
jersey.
Up. No, but this is better. This holding looks better helmet. To me. Nobody in the background hugging it out. Oh, he's going up a hill. That's the way to show that you can handle it. I'm going up a hill.
Or maybe the concrete
Or maybe
was
you
too
did
hard.
That yesterday. We didn't see it. Look at him go.
Yeah, two compressions.
Nobody's walking up a hill.
Yeah, two sleeves on today. Though.
Guys.
Rich, he still looked like he was, I don't know.
He attacked that hill with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
I don't know.
To use a Harbaugh phrase.
Two more sleeves.
By the way, very shaky video.
Well, someone's phone. They're just doing this.
So, but the same thing yesterday. Same thing yesterday. If you're going to, I mean, can we work with that? Can we work with that?
Should we hire our own film crews and all this?
Well, certainly.
And go and get stalk out Joe Burrow.
And his calf. That'd be weird. No, we got him throwing. Let's see. What do we got? We got him throwing. Okay. All right. Well, he's no sleeve on. Oh, there is. That's him. Okay.
Double sleeve.
Well, it's dropping back.
The passes are always going to look crispy.
All right. Well, that's okay. And he's looking one way. He's looking the other way. Okay. Oh, nice ball.
Two-step drop.
Dude, that's a guy who's playing. Here's a question I have for you, because I'm going to get it from my son. I'm going to get it from Cooper. Do you play him in fantasy? This is a Monday night situation. Do you let all of Sunday's day go by?
Who's your backup?
Depends on who your second QB is.
His backup is Pickett.
If you have one.
You might.
Raiders defense, not good.
So go with Pickett?
Yeah, because you just don't know.
Or you could pick up Goff. Goff.
Yeah, let me explain
something.
Pick
up Jake Browning.
Dude.
Stop.
Are you out of your mind? Jake Browning versus the Rams defense? Come on now. No. Come on now.
But if Jared
this
Goff
is the last
defense
game of the
just
weekend.
Just got lit up by Brock Purdy and...
If Jared Goff is available in your league and you have a conundrum.
Well, that's crazy. Yeah.
That's the one?
Yeah.
You'd go with that one?
That's because it should be a high-scoring game.
Great consulting.
Detroit. And
I appreciate
that's
it.
Fantasy stuff.
Robert Saleh said he wants Aaron Rodgers. He hopes to get him back. He's texted him. Everything's good. And he hopes to see him next week is what he said. Get him back in the building soon. Hope to see him next week. Issue is Rodgers went on Pat's show and said that he looked forward to getting back to the facility, but he'd like to be walking when he returns.
Okay.
I have not had, thank goodness, what Aaron Rodgers has had. But it strikes me that he's a long way from walking. Where are you, Aaron?
Aaron, where are you?
That's the question.
Where are you?
Where are you?
That's the question. Because again,
it's pronounced Aaron.
Boy, I would want him there. I just at least, hopefully, he's zooming. I'm sure he's in touch with Zach because he told Pat that he texted Jordan Love after beating the Bears. That what did he say? He told Pat, "Congrats for keeping the ownership in place."
That's amazing.
So if he's texting Jordan, then he's in contact with Zach. That's for darn sure. But let's go, AA Ron. How fast can he start walking? Let's see how speedy that bridge is. Let's go to Chad in Cincinnati. What's up, Chad?
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's on your mind? Oh, you're the last caller, I believe, so let's make it good, Chad. Here we go.
Oh, man, I'm gonna make it good. Two things. That comment about picking Kenny Pickett or Jordan Love, I mean, not Jordan Love, but Jared Goff.
Yeah.
I would probably go Kenny Pickett because if you picked Jared Goff, you got to remember Atlanta holds the ball a lot. They almost had the ball 40 minutes last week.
Okay.
So less scoring opportunities for Jared Goff. That's point one.
Yes.
Point two, Rich, what you said earlier about would you rather be in the Jets situation or the Giants, I go completely with what you said. I'd rather be Jets. You've got that defense. Zach Wilson will keep you in games.
Okay.
I'm going Jets.
All right.
And final point, higher register, biggest upset of the week, Cowboys are going down. TJ, you'll hear from me Monday morning.
Well, Chad, you didn't do it higher register. I mean, you figured, like,
Cowboys?
You're right. We're going really high this week, and those Cowboys are going down.
Oh, my God.
Going down.
Okay, thank you, Chad. Should we coach him up on how to go higher register? I mean, the way to do it is like, hey, I mean, the Cardinals last 2 weeks.
I mean, they've been pretty
blocky. They almost beat Washington 2-0. And, you know, they had the Giants really wanted them.
I mean, see what I mean? Don't have digs. So
that's the way it goes.
No digs. They can throw a D. Yeah. Dobbs.
38-3.
You don't.
38-3.
38-3.
So.
Yeah.
Their current average margin of victory is 30.
Mm-hmm.
You go above it?
Yeah.
They're plus 60 right now.
Yeah.
On point differential. We do the math for you here as best we can.
Yeah,
it's
'cause we're
30.
Not good at math.
You think they beat the Cardinals by 30? I do not.
Now, this feels like 27-13, something like that.
I think you win, though.
38-3.
Well, all I know is the team that's leading my power rankings is in the clubhouse at 3-0. First 3-0 team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Cowboys will be another. Who else is going to be another? Ravens?
Dolphins, Ravens.
Eagles. You think the Dolphins, huh? Eagles will beat the Bucks, huh? We'll talk about that Monday. Saints, Falcons. How many? They're going to have a whole bunch of 3-0 teams, huh?
Nah, I think Green Bay wins. I think Atlanta wins. Atlanta's 3-0.
I don't know about that one. We'll see.
Did the Bears have a shot?
I mean.
To do what?
To beat the Chiefs.
Close?
With 0.0, dog.
I don't know. I mean, no, I'm not even going to go there.
You just broke glasses over there. You went so high.
Thanks to Mike McCarthy, Brian Robinson Jr., and Bobby Wagner.
Hey guys, it's Susie Schuster, and I am so excited for my new podcast coming out this fall. It is called What the Football with Susie Schuster and the Princess of Darkness, Amy Trask. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to about jargon, heavy-legged waistbenders, this is not for you. We're going to have big girl conversations, and we are going super deep to bring you weekly guests that you won't find anywhere else. It is What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, wherever you listen.